Final case this morning is number 22-1795, Colleen Riley versus City of Harrisburg. Mr. Staver.
Good morning, Your Honors. I'm Matt Staver for the appellants. I would like to reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal.
Granted.
May it please the court. On behalf of the appellants, I respectfully request that this court reverse the summary judgment below because the ordinance of the city as interpreted and applied violates the First Amendment. There is a disconnect between the district court's order with regards to the facial aspect of this particular ordinance and this court's similar ruling in Bruny 2 regarding a similar ordinance in Pittsburgh, in which both said that on its face, very similar words were not content-based and they did not prohibit the kind of speech in the buffer zone that the plaintiff seeks to engage in.
You're making here what is, in effect, a claim that there is a policy or a custom of Harrisburg to deter a person's First Amendment rights. Now, clearly, there was one incident in July of 2014, and there appears in the record to be one misstatement by the city solicitor. How does that rise to the level of a policy of the city or a custom of the city to take away people's rights?
In two ways, Your Honor. In fact, what we have is a history of enforcement before the district court's order, before this court's Bruny decision, in the same kind of position after the district court's narrowing decision and this court's decision in Bruny 2 in 2019. So what we have is two 30B6 witnesses. The solicitor specifically states that, and this was not only done before, but also they relied on this after this court's decision in 2019. Solicitor's statement as a 30B6 witness on the interpretation, application, and enforcement of this ordinance says that it prohibits the plaintiffs from doing what they want, which is to give out literature and talk in normal one-on-one conversations. He also said that if two people are having a conversation, they are congregating if they are talking about anything of substance. He also then ratified the 2014 enforcement in 2016 when he said, go back and enforce it as it was before 2015. They had an abatement following the Supreme Court's decision. So we ratified what was happening before. The testimony is unrebutted that Plaintiff Riley in 2014 was approached by a police officer, and the notation of the police officer is unrebutted that he advised she was in violation of the order by entering into the buffer zone. The second 30B6 witness, again, these 30B6 witnesses were on the interpretation, application, and the enforcement of the order is the police captain, and he said it applies to a person in conversation with a patient entering or leaving the clinic, that it applies with a person who initiates a conversation about abortion, and that he also, I believe his testimony as a 30B6 witness, ratified the 2014 enforcement. When asked about that, he said it was, quote, the proper cause by a very competent police officer. So he's ratifying what happened in 2014. So you have two 30B6 witnesses, number one. Number two, in terms of...
Who were those witnesses?
That was the police captain, and it was the city solicitor.
Now, was the captain, or was this Moody?
This was Moody.
Moody. I thought he confirmed his deposition that there was no city enforcement policy.
He said they had no one particular written statement. It was up to the police officers.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
The problem with that, though, is he knew what happened in 2014, and he ratifies and he says what happened in 2014 when he testified in 2016. He said he says that that was the proper cause to have this person.
What cases do you have support the proposition that when an officer or solicitor testifies under 30B6 as a 30B6 deponent, that makes policy or you use the word ratify, but how do we know, what cases tell us that that's an actual policy?
Well, there's some cases that we cited. One of them is a Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals decision. There's others that, particularly regarding to the issue of 30B6 testimony, that 30B6 testimony is for that very purpose, where we asked for experts for the interpretation, application, and enforcement of the order, and they gave us two.
It's a designee. 30B6 designees speak on behalf of the entity, certainly, but I think speaking on behalf of is something qualitatively different than establishing policy. So what cases by name would you give us that show that, merely by virtue of being the designee, whatever the designee says is therefore policy?
The case, I believe, or one of them that we cited in our brief, was the Hoy case. I believe that was out of the Ninth Circuit. When we talk about the policy, specifically as it relates to 30B6 witnesses, but it's not just the 30B6 witnesses, although we have two and they're unanimous. It's also the briefs. The briefs before the courts all the way up until the present, they continue to affirm the same policy and practice. Also, statements by counsel before this court. There was a statement by counsel during a prior iteration of oral argument before this court that leafleting in the buffer zone of information about a law firm was not a violation, but leafleting anything about abortion was a violation. Judge Jordan asked,
That's changed, though. I mean, we've taken a narrow construction of the statute. Right?
You have, but the city has not. In fact, Your Honor, you said in your concurrence in Bruni 2, something I think is very instructive for what's going on continually now. You said, before today, the city, referring to Pittsburgh, broad and amorphous interpretation of the ordinance risk allowing those employees to engage in speech that others could not. That sort of disparate treatment would now be content or viewpoint based. That was 2019. So now they're still doing that. And in fact, they've never distanced themselves from these content-based decisions or statements by their 230B6.
But if this were true, we wouldn't be looking at an incident in 2014. There would be a complaint talking about all of the mistreatment that your clients faced in 2020 and 2021 and 2022, and we don't have any of that here.
That's because they didn't.
This case seems anachronistic, because if what you say is true, I don't know whether it's true or not, but if Harrisburg is enforcing a policy or a custom today that is inconsistent with our court's precedents regarding the First Amendment rights of your clients, then let's see the case. But that's not this case. This case is about one incident in 2014.
It's about two incidents, actually, 2014 with Plaintiff Riley and one in 2017. And during the preliminary injunction hearing,
what was the one in 2017?
When Plaintiff Bitter went into the zone to hug a woman who was crying, then during the preliminary injunction hearing, counsel continued to say, you violated the ordinance just by merely entering the buffer zone.
At the time, no officer told her that she was in any way of violating. There was no warning given to her.
No, but all of the officials, every single official that's ever spoken on this case is unanimous with regards to the content-based application or understanding of this. And in fact, on page 32, apparently fearing, up until now, this is the first time they've done this in their brief, because up until now, it's always been that it's based upon information based on content as to how this is being enforced inside the zone. Then on page 32, it says this of their brief: any person, including the plaintiffs, may seek to share healthcare information, moral instruction, options regarding adoption, or other messages outside of the buffer zone. In those cases, the ordinance does not apply. The ordinance only applies if the communications of any kind now occurs inside the buffer zone. So they've moved from a content-based application inside the buffer zone to the very first time in their brief now before this court that it bans every kind of speech inside the buffer zone. And that clearly is contrary to this court's decision in your concurrence, Judge Hardiman, in Bruni 2.
I didn't get that impression at all. I thought that indeed women can go into that zone and do and confer with other women regarding the right or not have an abortion.
That's what
the clear impression that I get.
That's what the district court says, based on the face. That's what this court says on a similar ordinance in Pittsburgh and Bruny 2. But that's never been the city's application or interpretation. And that's both before the district court's order and after. So you talk about ratification.
Again, what, I don't think you, respectfully, I don't think you addressed my concern previously, which is, if what you just said is true, the city is not respecting your client's First Amendment rights to sidewalk counsel, then there should be myriad instances of this happening last week, last month, last year. Where are those allegations? Where is that?
Because they have...
Is there some case pending right now in the Middle District we're not aware of?
They don't enter the zone. They stay far away from it because... Based upon
I'm sorry.
The plaintiffs in this case and others, because they know.
Why?
Our
precedents, I think, are pretty clear.
Your
they
precedents.
They have a right to sidewalk counsel, right? Isn't that, I mean, I wrote a concurrence, you're citing my concurrence, but Judge Krause wrote the majority.
Correct.
Right? So doesn't Judge Krause's majority opinion, citing the doctrine of constitutional avoidance, take a narrowing construction of the statute?
Yes, so that's a facial...
To vindicate your client's First Amendment rights?
Correct. That's based on a facial challenge. And so on a facial challenge, this court upheld the Pittsburgh ordinance, and also the district court upheld this ordinance on its face. But that's not how the city has applied it, both before, during, and after all of that litigation. So the city has not heeded either the district court's facial interpretation or
narrowing. We don't know whether the city's heeded it, because you just said your clients won't enter the zone. And apparently, Ms. Riley won't enter the zone based upon something happened to her in 2014.
Well,
and there's been a lot of legal change in this area between 2014 and now, correct?
That's true, there has, but she won't enter the zone because of what happened to Plaintiff Bitter in 2017. She won't enter the zone because of what happened during the preliminary injunction and how the city said that that was a violation of the buffer zone by entering it. And in 2021, 2022, the city continued to take the same position. So they know what the position of the city is.
What specifically is that position?
The position of the city is twofold. Up until the answer brief, the position of the city is that the buffer zone prohibits information that's of substance regarding abortion in the buffer zone. That
prohibits the exchange of information with those who go to that area.
Whether it's leafleting or talking, if it's something about substance or abortion, it prohibits it.
Where's that policy written?
It's not a written policy.
Is it a custom?
It's a custom.
All right. So then, where are the indicia, or where are the episodes? Mm-hmm. What are the episodes that show us that this is in fact a custom?
You have an unbroken chain. You have the 2014 citation. You have the 230B6 witnesses. You have all the briefing at the district court level and the appellate court level. You have oral argument before the district court, oral argument before this court, and you have it in the current brief.
If it's so, it's just the custom. I mean, isn't that something that the folks there can just ignore? In other words, it's not a law. It's not a regulation. You say it's a custom.
It's their custom of interpreting this policy, and they dare not ignore that because they don't want to be arrested. You know, I would, in answer to your question, the second aspect of it up until this brief was that they look at matters of substance, and matters of substance are restricted in the zone, but other things like the law firm are not.
You mean by following a custom, they may subject themselves to an arrest?
By following the city's custom, the city's unbroken custom will cause them to be arrested.
I should have said ignoring the city's directive, because they do have a right to confer. They do have a right to be there within 20 feet, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, they do that outside of the zone, but we're talking about inside the buffer zone.
Inside the buffer inside zone the buffer is about zone. 20 feet to the door.
Yeah, and in this particular one, it's up to 70 feet in certain places, but it's a 20-foot buffer zone.
They can go there, and they can confer with other women who are about to, you know,
Outside of the zone.
Okay.
Not in the zone. The only other thing that I was going to say is just to reiterate that in their brief on page 32, they've now extended this to say that no communication on any of the things, adoption or anything, can occur inside the zone. And they make that argument on the basis that they're trying to avoid content basis, that it says, well, it's content neutral because we don't allow anything in the zone. And that clearly is contrary to the district court's decision. It's contrary to Bruni 2, this court's decision, that this kind of leafleting and one-on-one peaceful communication is permitted even inside the zone. So with that, I would respectfully request this court reverse.
Thank you. We'll hear you on rebuttal, Mr. Staver. Mr. Northley?
I was going to say good morning. I'm not sure.
It's still.
Okay. Good morning.
You're good.
Judges. My name is Andy Norfleet. I appear before you this morning on behalf of the city of Harrisburg. Judges, we would respectfully request that the court does two things. Affirm the district court's grant of summary judgment on behalf of the city of Harrisburg, and also affirm the district court's denial of summary judgment for the plaintiffs.
This ordinance was it when, 2012?
Correct, Your Honor.
And does Harrisburg interpret the ordinance as prohibiting peaceful one-on-one conversations about abortion?
Your Honor, that has already been decided by this court. This court...
We know what we decided. The question is, what are you doing about it?
Yeah, what are you doing about it? Practically
speaking. Mr. Staver said that his clients can't enter the zone to sidewalk counsel. Is that true?
Your Honor, counsel also said that in 2014 there was a citation issued. There was no citation issued. And I will agree with, I believe it was Judge Ambrose and Judge Fuentes who asked direct questions about, and yourself, Judge Hardiman, is where are the other instances? If Harrisburg
Well, they don't have them because they're afraid to get arrested. And so the question is what is the city's position regarding the ability to peacefully sidewalk what we've referred to in our cases as sidewalk counsel within the buffer zone?
Your Honor, I again would say that the city has never cited anyone for peacefully counseling in the zone. And Your Honor,
So the answer is that as I understand that, that the city does not prohibit peaceful one-on-one conversations about abortion within the zone?
Your Honor, again...
It's a yes or no.
Right.
It is, Your Honor, but we're being put in a position where we are relitigating issues that have been
I'm just asking. You're correct that this is from a prior case. We're talking about Monell in this case. I'm just trying to lay the facts. The city interprets the ordinance as allowing peaceful one-on-one conversations about abortion within the buffer zone. Is that correct?
The city reviews the ordinance, Your Honor, as prohibiting four things. And none of those four items that are listed in the ordinance include peaceful sidewalk counseling.
What are the four things?
Picketing, Your Honor, congregating, the other two just ran right out. Excuse me.
But it's also true that previously your position on you took a strong position on congregating that would have prohibited sidewalk counseling prior to Judge Krause's opinion in Bruni 2, correct?
Are you referring to the solicitor's statements, Your Honor?
Yes, and just the city's statements in general.
Okay, well, if we're talking about the statements of Solicitor Grover when he was asked what number of people might constitute congregating, I think your Honor said it as I would have, that the solicitor is the solicitor. The solicitor is not a policy maker. So regardless of what the solicitor might have said during a deposition, regardless of what the solicitor might have said during an injunctive hearing, as the district court and this court have recognized, that those statements have no bearing on the facial application, which again has been upheld. And again, I feel like we are here defending the facial constitutionality of an ordinance that the district court and this court has already said is facially constitutional. So the only issue that
it's an as-applied challenge, isn't it? As to Riley and Bitter?
That's our position, Your Honor, but sitting here today and reading the briefs from the appellants, that they want to relitigate the issue of whether or not the ordinance even is facially constitutional, which we shouldn't be doing.
I'm trying to decide this case, which I think requires us to determine whether, under Monell, the city could be liable for a policy or practice or custom.
Correct.
And there's no written policy. Well, I guess I should ask Mr. Staver, but I'm a little confused because they do refer to the policy, but as you point out, we've already written opinions about the policy being facially okay under a narrowed construction that permits sidewalk counseling within the buffer zone. And you just, I think, in a roundabout way conceded that his clients can go into the buffer zone and counsel women as they see fit, as long as they don't violate one of the four prohibitions in the ordinance, correct?
Correct. Your Honor, I think there were a number of questions asked about where is the written policy. The plaintiffs have never put forth a written policy that the city is somehow not following. And when we're looking at a single incident case, which this is, Your Honor.
It's a single incident plus one misstatement of the solicitor Grover on page 753.
Well, and I wonder if that's even a misstatement, because part of what's confusing about this procedural posture is that the 30B6 deponents were testifying during a live case before our opinions have sort of, I would hope, have given some guidance to both your client and Mr. Staver's clients about how to proceed, right? So some of those 30B6 statements were, or all of those 30B6 statements were made when the law was less clear in this area, correct?
Correct. And Your Honor, going back to a question that you asked, from 2012 to 2014, there were no instances of anyone who was peacefully sidewalk counseling having any interaction with
police officers. Have there been other citations for congregating?
I don't believe so.
Or other behavior? Have there been physical altercations or anything like that resulted in citations?
Yeah, I believe that there may have been citations, Your Honor, for physical contact. But again,
what's the time frame, ballpark on those, if you know?
I don't, Your Honor. But Your Honor,
well before we did, or before we decided Bruni too.
Yes, Your Honor.
Have there been any citations since we've decided, since our opinion in Bruni 2 was issued?
Not that I'm aware of, Your Honor. And none that have been raised by plaintiff. But Your Honor, going back to this question of this single incident, and is the city somehow misapplying this as applied to the plaintiffs? If they are, Your Honor, it's the worst application in the history of applications. And again, I go back from 2012 to 2014, no instances. 2014, one instance by one singular officer. From 2014 until now, no other instances.
So there has been counseling in the facility, and there has been no incident at all.
Your Honor,
I've been counseling by anti-abortion individuals.
I mean, it would be unfair for me, Your Honor, to say that I know the answer to that question. I can only tell you that we're not aware of anyone who has been prohibited, nor have there been any complaints filed. I don't know what's going on outside of the Planned Parenthood, and based on prior proceedings, I'm loathed to potentially admit to something that I don't know, for it to come up later to say, well, you know, Norfleet said they're still doing this or not doing this outside of the Planned Parenthood clinic, and I just, I don't know, but
is it fair to say the crux of your argument is that one incident almost a decade ago does not a policy or custom make?
That is the crux of our argument, Your Honor, that does not make a policy. And not only that, Your Honor, but it is the plaintiff's burden to bring forth the policy or the custom, which they have not done.
Should we view Riley and Bitter differently in terms of justiciability? Does Bitter have any injury in fact? Is there a distinction between the two, or do you lump the two together?
I think that's an interesting question, Your Honor. So when I was sitting and listening, I will note, Your Honor, that Ms. Riley has admitted that even before and after the ordinance was adopted by the city, she would ignore it. During her deposition, she said, before the ordinance was adopted, I stood 2 to 3 feet away from people. Once the ordinance was adopted, I would look for police cars. I would stand 2 to 3 feet away from people. If I saw a police car, I'd get 20 feet away. And then when the police left, I'd go back to being 2 to 3 feet away from them. So if Ms. Riley is afraid of being prosecuted by this ordinance, that is an odd way to protect oneself from being afraid of the ordinance, simply to watch for police cars and do what you do until the police leave. But going back to your question, Your Honor, about looking at Bitter and looking at Riley the same or different, I think of the two, Your Honor, certainly Bitter has shown no injury in this case.
Neither has been cited, neither has been convicted, but Riley asserts that the police officer enforced the ordinance against her. That's that 2014 incident.
The only incident.
But I don't see anything in the record where Bitter, how we pronounce the name, was that she has anything like that. She has simply said that she's concerned about getting in trouble based upon Riley's incident.
In full candor to the court, Your Honor, I think if you scour the record, I think Ms. Bitter said at one time she was walking between two properties and the property owner called the police. An officer asked her, what are you doing? She said, I'm just walking. The officer said, have a nice day. She described that interaction as a pleasant conversation, and there was no discussion during that meeting about an ordinance. But I did want to bring that to your attention, Your Honor.
I have no further questions.
No? Anything further? Thank you, Mr. Norfleet. We'll hear rebuttal from Mr. Staver.
Thank you. And we would, again, Your Honor, ask that you affirm the decisions of the district.
We understand.
Court. Thank you.
Thank you.
May it please the court. Judge Hardiman, regarding the 30B6 witnesses, yes, they were done before Bruny 2, but they were submitted after Bruny 2. And so they still relied upon those in 2021 and 2022 for the motion for summary judgment. The city could have resolved this fairly simply with just a very yes or no. As a result of this court's decision in Bruny 2.
Where would they have given the yes or no, and how would they have said it?
In the summary judgment filings. In fact, in support of summary judgment, they gave the two 30B6 witnesses again. And they gave no contrary declaration or affidavit that says we no longer, based upon Bruny 2, will enforce this against peaceful leafleting and one-on-one communications in the zone, except if you do one of those four things. Nothing was ever.
You didn't get that admission in the district court, but you just got it here. You know, Mr. Norfleet was quite clear that they're only enforcing the four types, and that doesn't include sidewalk counseling.
Your Honor, in their brief, they say the ordinance only applies if the communications of any kind occurs inside the buffer zone. That's on page 32.
But so we can't go back and litigate what this court has previously cited. What we're deciding today is a Monell claim. Is there a policy of Harrisburg, or is there an entrenched custom of Harrisburg to inhibit the First Amendment rights of those who wish to do sidewalk counseling outside the abortion clinic?
Judge Ambrose, I think that there is an unbroken custom and practice by the city from 2014, 2017, the 230B6 witnesses, every statement by counsel below, multiple times in the briefs, and in fact, we have cited many of those on page 28 and 29 of our brief.
But what we have is, in 2014, was an officer who misstated that the buffer zone was 25 to 30 feet, he's wrong, and also that he didn't want any discussion within the buffer zone with respect to counseling in a normal tone. And so he was incorrect. But what other incidents of an officer incorrectly enforcing the ordinance post-2014?
Well, you have the 30B6 witness, Moody, the captain, who said that that was the proper application of it back in 2014. So he ratifies what the officer did. And you also have the 2017 incident, and at the preliminary injunction.
But as Judge Hardiman noted, there's a whole lot of water over the dam between 2014 and today.
Correct, but those are the same 30B6 witnesses that they put forth after Bruny 2 in support of their motion for summary judgment. So they didn't change their position after Bruny 2, and that, I think, is the real issue.
We don't know. Your clients haven't even tested it. You're saying this is almost like a who goes first. You're saying your clients are afraid to sidewalk counsel in the buffer zone because they're afraid they'll be cited or arrested?
Because of what they have already experienced and the city's position on this, and they don't have to actually be arrested. Their fear of being arrested or being cited, which is in Riley's case and also in Bitter's case, because the counsel for the city, when was questioning Bitter at the PI hearing, actually said by going in, you violated.
When was that hearing held?
That was before, I believe, the 2019. It was before the summary judgment. So that would have been before the 2019 Bruny 2. But all of that.
I just can't imagine if your clients tomorrow went inside the buffer zone to sidewalk counsel and they got any kind of trouble from the city of Harrisburg. I mean, they're just inviting a 1983 action, especially considering, you know, counsel's statements regarding what this ordinance does and doesn't do in light of this court's decision in Bruny 2.
Well, Your Honor, I understand that that's what this court said in Bruny 2, but I don't believe, based upon the history, that that's how the city is interpreting. And even the question asked of counsel was a yes or no, and it took a long time to even figure out.
Well, it was roundabout, but we got there. We got an answer that the sidewalk counseling is allowed within the buffer zone, and but what you can't do is you can't get violent, you can't picket.
Does that one admission then negate page 32 of their brief before this court?
Page 32 of their brief I just reread, and that is the subject that's being discussed at page 32 is whether this is content-based or not. That's the nature of the conversation that occurs.
Right.
And I agree that they point out that the ordinance does not apply outside the buffer zone, which is a little ambiguous. It could be read, it doesn't speak to what the ordinance does within the buffer zone.
Well, it does.
But our opinion speaks pretty strongly.
Yours does. I understand that completely. And if that's the way it would be applied, we wouldn't be here. If that's the way they would say
they're going to... We don't know how it's going to be applied because we're talking about something that happened almost a decade ago.
But in the same page 32, Your Honor,
mm-hmm.
The ordinance only applies if communications of any kind occurs in the buffer zone.
Right.
I can't counsel my client. This is their position, so go in there and violate it.
Well, no. Well, I read that a little differently than you. I mean, the ordinance, correct me if I'm wrong, still prohibits picketing within the buffer zone, correct?
Correct.
All right. So if your client's instead of sidewalk, and this is an issue that we've been dealing with as a court, very focused on the nature of the engagement between the folks that you represent and the folks that are entering these facilities. And I think we've been pretty clear that peaceful sidewalk counseling of the type that your clients would like to do and that Bruni would like, wanted to do, is protected First Amendment conduct. What is not protected conduct is physical altercations, picketing. So the ordinance does apply. If your clients tomorrow were to go in and picket, right, and block the entrance to the facility, then you've got a problem. Your clients are likely to be cited or prosecuted under the ordinance, correct?
Correct.
All right. But the converse is equally true. If your clients engage in peaceful sidewalk counseling within the buffer zone, then they can't be cited or prosecuted. And if the city does that in derogation of this court's opinions, then I think we're going to see you again, or the district court in Harrisburg is going to see you pretty quickly on 1983 action.
Your Honor, I agree with all of that. This would be completely different if Harrisburg had acknowledged Bruni too, but they have not. They submit the same information, which goes back to 2014, and in their brief before this court, they say none of those, because none of this is picketing, congregating. It's as a person could seek to share healthcare information, moral instruction, options regarding adoption, or other messages outside the buffer zone. In those instances, the ordinance doesn't apply. The ordinance only applies if the communications of any kind, not picketing, congregating, boisterous activity, any kind occurs inside the buffer zone. So that's what they said. And that's the same kind of statement that they have said from the very beginning, in writing, in their oral advocacy before this court and the lower court, and in their 30B6 hearing witnesses. And they have never altered that at the summary judgment stage. And even at this stage, they still say it. And that is contrary to Bruni too. But that's what our clients, I respectfully submit, are dealing with regards to the city's built-in practice that has never changed as it should have when this court released Bruni 2 in 2019.
Are you aware of any altercations at all since, let's say, 2017 regarding the women who are speaking to others regarding the abortion issue?
I don't know of any altercations, no. And I don't know of anybody going in the zone. And certainly our clients have not gone past the 20-foot.
So since 2017 has been pretty quiet and pretty much as we had anticipated.
As far as I understand, that's correct. And any activity would be outside of the zone, but I don't know of any altercations or boisterous activity even outside of the zone. Certainly nothing, at least relating to our clients, is inside the zone.
It's a 25-foot zone?
It's a 20-foot zone. 20-foot zone. Thank you, Your Honor. Request that you reverse below.
Thank you, Mr. Staver. Thank you, Mr. Norfleet. The court will take the matter under advisement.